I'm going to get to the art. I'm going to start with my birthday. So this week, I turned 60. Irene rented a yard sign that said, 60 rocks. Happy birthday, John. She also ordered 24 plastic hearts and smiley faces to go with the sign. All day long, people were stopping in front of the house neighbors to gawk. My Facebook account also went into overdrive. I received greetings from more than 24 countries in every continent except Antarctica. 60. You have to wonder, though, what it all means. Still, this much is clear to me. 60 is big. How big? 60 is so big that Irene and I have decided to celebrate it on a yacht this coming spring. A real once-in-a-lifetime treat in the Caribbean. 60 is so big, and this is really amazing, 60 is so big that Irene told me that I could buy that convertible I've always wanted. As long as it's used and red. And on a more serious note, turning 60, I also had this very emotional moment when I realized that my life, if it's not drawing to a close, it is nevertheless probably 2/3 done. That's the whole point of this sermon here. When you turn 60, 70, or 80, the psalmist's words do momentarily at least come to mind. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field, but then the wind passes over it and they are gone. You know, and the thing is, I am definitely not keen on dying. I like my life. I love my family, and I am beloved by them, I know. I am deeply fulfilled by my work here at Lawrence Park Community Church. I have very, very good friends who add spice and kindness and fun to my life. I may not be wealthy, but I am full of gratitude for being materially very comfortable. I even have a loyal dog. I like my life. And yet there is this shadow. As the Apostle James put it, life is like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Thinking about life's brevity, I began to wonder, well, what does it all mean then? Now, not everybody is curious about the meaning of life, and I accept that, and that's okay. Some of us, perhaps a few of us, are blessed with the ability to live joyously and with love left over without ever wondering what it's all about. That's a gift. Others are so busy merely trying to survive that they don't have time to think about life's meaning. I mean, if you lived in Aleppo or Zimbabwe or homeless in Toronto's streets, I think you'd be focused on survival. And other people, again, are so consumed by their passions and their appetites that it never occurs to them that something besides their passions or appetites might really matter. But I think a lot about the meaning of life, and actually not just because I turned 60. Thinking about life's meaning turns out to be one of my main hobbies. Over the past 5 years, for example, I have read at least 50 theology and philosophy books on the meaning of life. The philosophy books tend to be about happiness or social justice or finding yourself existentially. But the theology books tended to focus on who is God for us anyway? Or how do you turn Jesus' words and teachings into a lifestyle today? I've even tried to write my own book on the meaning of life. I actually finished it. I'm here this morning to confess that just as there is nothing new under the sun, there is nothing new in my book. It wasn't that good. It has no startling insights, no special inspirational flavor. If truth be told, my book is boring and I have filed it in a dark desk drawer. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me on this point. I love reading, and I don't regret any of the time I've spent writing about the meaning of life. On the other hand, over these past 5 years and doing all the reading I've done, I've realized that most nonfiction words, they tend towards short catechisms, written as if there are no mysteries when it comes to the meaning of life. Whereas the philosophy books I've read rarely relate to my morning commute or finding daycare. The philosophy and theology that I've read is often weaponized too. It tends to grind down contrary opinions like mud under steel-capped construction boots. So when it comes to the real meaning of life, I actually find that I need something else. I need art. Take, for example, this work here beside me. It's taken from a wall in Jim and Helen Griffith's home. You'll also find this work on the cover of your bulletin and on your screens. I want you to notice that it's on a wall. I could have done a very beautiful, you know, picture of just the work, but I wanted you to see that it's on a wall. It's in a home. This work is by the Canadian artist Al McWilliams, whose art is displayed in galleries all across Canada and indeed all around the world. It's a photograph entitled The Birth of Eve. It is a photo, actually, of a very small portion of a very large facade that's on the outside of the cathedral in Orvieto, Italy. I love this photograph. But you have to notice, Eve is missing. She's gone. In fact, if you know anything about this cathedral, she's so obviously gone that that's almost all you can think about when you look at the picture of sleeping Adam. If you could see the whole facade in Italy, you would see Eve, eyes opened, head cradled by God's own hand. Eve, awake and alive, being drawn from Adam's rib. She has a smile on her face. Nevertheless, here the focus is solely on Adam, unconscious, eyes closed, merely the raw material for this later creation. By focusing on Adam being comatose and uninvolved, McWilliams seems to suggest that Eve, she is the crown of creation. She is God's last, best finishing touch while Adam is comatose. In Eve, God is getting the image right because look what you've got so far. And there's more. McWilliams' photograph forces me to reconsider the ancient theological claim, church has been making this since almost day one, that since Adam was created before Eve, Adam is Eve's better, Adam is Eve's head because he was created first. But you have to rethink that because if being created first really mattered, if that was what was really important, then the fish and the birds and the plants, all created before Adam and Eve, would be the real crown of creation. Or maybe all those things are the real crown of creation. What happens here is that I'm gazing at this work of art, and I find myself wondering, what then does it mean to be human rather than to be wood or fish or plant? I'm wondering, how should I as a man relate to women? Not a bad question to ask in this U.S. election season. I'm wondering when I look at this photograph about what the Bible really means when so many levels of interpretation can be drawn from a single text and displayed in this work of art. I realize that the Bible is just one opinion, or I should say, my interpretation of the Bible is just one opinion, I think an important and good one, but mine. And then this magical moment happens when I'm not just wondering anymore. After I have examined this work of art and closed my eyes, I find that I am dreaming. I'm dreaming about what God might do in my life. I dream about what my lover, Irene, might mean for me as I age. And I dream about how splendid it is really to be human in spite of the mysteries I can't fathom, in spite of life's brevity. I want this. I love it. I receive it as a gift. You see, at its best, what art does, differently for every person, but what art does is it bridges that gulf between spirituality here and meaning over there. Art bridges that gulf by refusing to define meaning merely by black and white print, but by surrounding meaning with color and light, beauty and possibility, honesty, sometimes darkness. But art builds a bridge between meaning and spirituality by allowing all these other things to flow in too, as needed, as my imagination determines. I hope that on this day, as you worship in the art gallery, you might consider hanging some more art on your walls, too. Not so much so that you'll feel better about being 60 or 70 or 80. Not so that you'll finally understand the full meaning of life. But more so, buy something, put it on your wall, leave it there so that you, too, can dream dreams. Approach meaning and wonder about it, while also embracing the mystery of life, regardless of your age. Amen.